it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Ains and I take time and answer questions that you've sent in. Email, mails, there's a lot of them. So we try to go through, pick out the ones that we think are real pertinent with what's going on today in society. And so we've got a great list. So Angel, let's just jump in and see what they've written today.
All right. Hey, Joe and Angel, thank you for these amazing mailbags. You are welcome. We love them. It's so amazing to have you answering our questions, and it has been helpful to hear your advice. I have a personal question about parenting. If you could do it all over again, what would you tell yourself as a young parent?
Well, I got a simple answer. I've given that a lot of thoughts because Ains and I both, you know, we've got eight kids that are grown. Like, what would you do different? Nothing. I wasn't trying to be a bad parent, trying to be a good parent, but I'd never been a parent. Plus, you know, Ains and I both, it's one thing to be a parent of that first child, you know, in the center of your life, you focus on it, you're trying to do everything right. Then all of a sudden you have a second one and they're nothing like the first one. It's like, oh my goodness, they're not like what I did with the first one doesn't work on the second one. And you learn God's a creative God, so they all come out different. So I wouldn't change a thing. I'm still trying to, you know, I pray the same thing every day. Father, teach me, my family, to fear you, for the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. And with that wisdom, it's a long life, rich is none. And the Bible says in James, you will lack wisdom. Ask God, I need wisdom to be a parent. I mean, man, there's stuff going on. So you don't want fear to creep in. So every day you go to the throne of God, when you get up in the morning, Father, I thank you. This is the day you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in. My children, according to Psalms 112, are going to be mighty upon this planet. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will endure forever. People, when you're reading scripture, well, that's all I've got to go on. I got to go to the word of God. So when you, people used to say, doesn't it bother having any kids? I wanted a big family. I did. And now we have sort of similar testimonies. You know, she's married for 10 years, couldn't have kids. She's believing God. I mean, she's believing God. Well, you know, I got married. I thought I wanted a big family, but we started trying to get pregnant for 3 years, couldn't get pregnant. Like, oh man, I waited all this time. Now we can't have any babies. And all of a sudden we started dropping them like rainwater out of heaven. But when they show up, they all show up different, but God's got a great plan for their life. It's a great time to have kids.
If I could do anything again, there's a couple things that I would do different. I would spend more time with my kids. I was very busy. I worked a lot when they were little, and I would have taken more time. And the other thing was, I wouldn't have spent so much time with friends. Nope. I think I didn't value as much as I now. When I got divorced, everything changed, and my priorities totally changed. But by then, they were 13 and 8, so I would say that would be my two things.
Well, you know, here we are. You know, I'm going to turn, I think, 71 this year. So Angel and I, we're in love, but Angel's kids love her. I mean, as adults, they love their mom. They value her opinion. And how'd that happen? You know, she focused on them. You know, she's reaping a great crop, you know, all those years. That wasn't always smooth. They didn't always agree. But Angel knew how to handle stuff. So to my kids, I love my kids. I told them every day, I love you. You know, who fixed your crooked teeth? Well, that would be Daddy. You know, who got you that car? That would be Daddy. Who put a pool in the backyard? That would be Daddy. Who got you into college, paid for your wedding? That would be Daddy. You know, I'm trying to be good to you. I love you. I want to bless you. And then one day I want you to grow up and move off, you know, come visit every now and then. But I'm trying to produce an adult. I'm not trying to produce a happy person. I want you to be happy. I'm trying to produce an adult that will be responsible and pass on the faith to the next generation.
Well, and I think I was older when I had children. I was 30. And so I was a little, probably, I had a little bit more life under my belt.
We call it mature. We don't use that word much anymore.
So I think I was very calm when disciplining them and everything. And I really did, because I had such a hard time getting pregnant. I was so thrilled, you know, every time they walked into the room. But I tried to be really honest with them and remember that even though they're tiny, they're little adults. They can understand things better than I think they do.
They do.
And so
they get the drift.
Yeah. My daughter, one time I came in and she was I just bought some new living room furniture, and one was a wooden table, and I came in and there was fingernail polish all over the top of it, dried. And I said,
"Whoa.
Hey, sweetie, did you come in here, Nicole, and paint your fingernails?" She goes, "Uh-huh." She shows me her fingernails, very proud of it. And I go, "Wow, well, see, it's stuck on the table, some of that stuff. So maybe next time we put a towel or something under it." "Well, I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me that before?"
Yep.
Whereas a lot of parents would just get furious over something like that.
"Look what you've done."
And see, to me, those things never mattered. She, oh man, one time, this is the best one. She's quiet. We're driving to the mall. I just got in a brand new car with tan leather interior. And we're driving to the mall. The next day we're flying to England, where my husband was going to preach at the time. And she was probably two or three, and she's quiet in the back seat, which should have been a key to me. I'm on the phone.
"Houston, we've got a problem."
I turn around to park, got out to get her, and she has somehow found a black Sharpie and colored circles all over the back seat, all over her arms and legs, all over her cheeks and everything. And I go, "Oh my gosh, Nicole," she starts crying immediately. And she goes, "People are going to laugh at me," because we're about to go to the mall. And I said, "You're going in the mall, sister." And so anyways, next day we flew to England and she had faded Sharpie on her cheek. But anyway, so yeah, but I mean, I enjoy every minute of them. They're fun to me. But
one of the greatest things I've learned, you know, from Angel was, you know, my earliest of parenting, I was just thankful to be a parent. But wife got on to him one day because I just verbally just let them have it. And she said, she came in, she said, "So you need to calm down." So I'm going to get everything under control. We'll get everything, sit down at the dinner table, we'll have a good meal. But I need to tell you something. Eventually, these children are going to leave home. They're all going to leave. And when the last leaves home, I'm going with them because you're no fun to be with anymore. I thought, "What? Yep, I'm going to leave you. When the last kid leaves, I'm leaving because you're no fun to be with." And I realized I got too tense, too detailed about stuff. And it took about a year and a half for me to lighten up because people said, "Man, does Joe laugh all the time?" Well, I laugh a lot, not all the time, but I made a determination. I'm going to learn to laugh more. I'm going to laugh at stuff I shouldn't have laughed at. We're going to do it. Kids are going to remember what you like growing up. Did you yell all the time? Did you not talk to him? No, mom was fun. Dad was fun. And they love being around you. Why? I'm trying to make you a better person. I'm trying to let you know these are not heaven or hell issues. You know, the sun's going to come up in the morning. I don't care if you flunked out. I don't care if your boyfriend broke up with you. The sun's going to come up. There'll be another day. God's got better things in store for you. You've not lost a thing. The devil's a thief. Doesn't matter. God will make the devil pay back seven times whatever he stole from you. You've got it made, but you got to get the word of God into them.
Yeah. And I think enjoy them. I mean, to this day, I just have fun.
I know.
I just.
Angel does.
They make me laugh. We will. My daughter and I were driving down the road and she was in her car. I was in mine. We just had lunch and I split off to get off of an exit and she's looking at me and we both just start laughing so hard. We're crying. I almost had to pull over at nothing. We just know that's how we are. So enjoy them. They're the coolest people I know.
They're a gift from God.
They are.
Now, what you have to say is that children are a gift from God. Our job is to train them up and one day give them back to God. So it's a temporary thing. So you want to make it good. You want to make it good.
Yeah. So my kids just don't listen and they think they know it all. I believe they'll grow out of this, but how do I make it through this know-it-all teenage phase? Oh, that is the roughest phase. I can tell you puberty was easier than that phase. Mine went on through college. And both of mine were English majors.
Whoa.
And I'm from Georgia, so I don't always speak the King's English. And
speak Georgian English.
I speak, yes, but I said, do you understand? If you correct me one more time, and I would say to them, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" Then that's good enough for me.
Lord have mercy.
But yeah, that's a tough stage. That's irritating, but go ahead.
Well, this too shall pass.
It will.
There's got to be some, though, fences somewhere in life, in your home. Listen, I don't mind you sharing your opinion, but you're not going to take off on a tirade with me. We're not going to do that. So I want you to calm your voice down, look at me directly. If you don't like something, share it. Well, Dad, I don't like this. Well, maybe neither do I. But right now, this has got to happen. You're not the only person in this house. For us, there were eight people in the house. You're not King Tut in my home. You're one of eight. So it'll be a family decision. It'll be a family meal. We're going to have a family vacation. This isn't all about you, sugar. It's about other people. And Jesus taught about that. He said, you want to be great in my kingdom? Learn how to serve everybody else. To be great in God's eyes, serve other people. Don't be selfish. I, me, me, I, and I. No. So part of parenting is teaching them how you're not the only person on this planet, sugar. There's a lot of other people, and your job is to serve all those other people. That goes deep.
Yeah, and they will grow out of it. You know, I mean, that's part of spreading your wings. I mean, that's just part of the process. You know, when my daughter was going through puberty, I used to say, your emotions are about to trigger mom's emotions. So, you know, I'd say get involved in what they're doing. You know, when my kids went to college, now everybody can't do this because you're not in the same town. My son and daughter went 15 minutes away to school, and I cried like they went to another country, another continent. But I would go up to the school all the time. My son, who led praise and worship on the campus, everybody knew him, said, I'm the only student at school that everybody knows my mother more than they know you.
Yeah. My mom's famous. She shows up all the time, unannounced.
Yep. And so I would get involved and say, why are you feeling like this? What's going on? Who are your friends? What are you listening to? So, yeah.
That was that last 5 second statement by Angel is the key. They're not going to tell you anything. You guys got to get.
Well, they'll tell you an opinion of something they've heard and they're getting in there. Yeah. Their gut, but just stay steady, stay very steady, and that will change. All of a sudden, you'll be smart again.
Yeah,
it's like overnight.
Man, Dad got his sense back. What happened? Dad got his IQ just went up.
So just try to hold steady through that season. I need help. I just don't know what to do about finances anymore. Every month is paycheck to paycheck, and I never get ahead. I'm tithing and sowing seed, but I need a breakthrough.
Yeah, well, that's probably everybody else's story as well. Well, anybody doesn't need a breakthrough. I don't care how much money you're making. Everybody always needs more money. And so life's not going to get cheaper. I shared this so many times. I remember when I was in high school, gasoline in my town was 27 cents a gallon. Well, the big OPEC embargo happened, and so it went to $1.27 a gallon overnight. We're paying an extra dollar a gallon of gas. Now, you got to understand, when you've been paying less than a dollar, it goes to $1.27. Like, we thought the world's going to end. No way can we survive paying this much for gas. Little did we know it's going to hit $5 one day, son. And so I don't control that. But the Bible says God will supply all my need. And so there's been seasons and cycles of life. There's been times where I remember I had three jobs at one time. What are you doing? Trying to pay for the family that I wanted. What, did you not know it was going to cost you? Yeah, I didn't know it was going to cost this much. I didn't know the cost of living is going to go up this much. I didn't know gas prices were going to go up. I didn't know the rent was going to go up. You know, I paid rent. I mean, for first year of marriage, my rent was $35 a month. It went up to a whopping $50 a month. I didn't know how I was going to make it. Oh, man, $50 a month for rent? And so today, you know, it's through the roof. And so, but people are making it. People still rent, still buy houses, still buy cars. You find a way. God said he'd supply all of your needs. So you got to start focusing on God. And at the same time, in between, you're going to do, well, I might get take some overtime.
Well, you know, when I was a single mother, I did not get child support. And it was tough. I was not making a whole lot of money. And I had both my kids in Christian school. And it was a sacrifice, let me tell you. I mean, if I told you some of the things I had to do, it was rough. And so my daughter went to get married, and I didn't have a bunch of money to help her do that. But I had a friend that had a bakery, and every Saturday I would go work in her bakery for free. And I did it for months. And did I feel like doing that after a week of work? No.
Nope.
But I would go and do it. And let me tell you something, bakery work is hard. It's like restaurant work. You're always on your feet. You know, it's just tough work. Well, I went there. And so that took care of a lot of my daughter's, her wedding cake and a lot of the food and everything. So, so there's things that you can do. But here's the thing. The Bible says your steps are ordered by the Lord.
Yes.
Every day, Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Say, God, I'm asking you for supernatural wisdom on my finances, how to deal with this. You said you'd be our help in a very present time of need. This is a time of need. Just start calling the word on this situation. Yeah. As you, if you're sowing seed and tithing, you have a right for increase.
You have a demand.
So, you know, the Bible says, test him. You know, if you're tithing, test him in that and say, God, I'm testing you. I have a need. I need an abundant supply. Here's the thing. It will never come in where you think it does.
Nope.
It never has.
Nope.
Every time it's ever come into my life, I've been stunned every time.
Now, on the secular side, you got two things. You got faith without works is dead, work without faith is dead. So the work part of it, you need a budget. 97% of all American families have no working budget. They don't know how much they owe, how much they earn, or where it's going. They just know they need more money. Well, God's got a stewardship. You know, the parable of the talents, 5, 2, and 1. Jesus told the story, 5 double to 10, 2 double to 4, 1 didn't do anything with it. And so Jesus was telling the story, so take from him that hasn't done anything, give the guy's got 10. To him that has, shall more be given. So I realized something in those times of life where I had to get an extra job, you know, like Angel's talking about. At the same time, I'm believing God. Now, we had a budget. Well, you know, I need more money. You know? And so I remember one Thanksgiving, we couldn't afford a turkey. I mean, I'm working 3 jobs, going to Bible school. Like, and so it's the one of the 3 places I'm working. The guy came, hey, you want a turkey? I said, what? Yeah, we're giving free turkeys for Thanksgiving. We've got a lot left over. Sure. And so I punched out at midnight before Thanksgiving. Well, the owner comes back in. I'm leaving. I've got my turkey. I'm thankful. I made him call my wife. I said, hey, Joe, we got a couple extra turkeys. You want them? Well, yeah, I'll take them. Because we're living off like bologna sandwiches, you know. And so I go home with 3 huge turkeys. And my wife says, where'd you get those? Owner gave them to me. We're going to have one great Thanksgiving and several weeks thereafter. And she said, well, Joe, we need to give 2 of those turkeys away. I said, no, we don't. We had no turkeys before I went to work today. Now we got 3. No, we're not going to hoard. Let's start making seed out of them. So we had other kids. We knew that were going to Bible school. So around 1 o'clock in the morning, we're going through our neighborhood, knocking on the doors. And people said, what do you want? Hey, want a turkey for Thanksgiving? We gave the other 2 away. That really brought in a great crop, believe it or not. I don't have time for the testimony, but that was some good seed to sow.
Yeah, and so I just think you need to apply the word to it and just see what God does.
Yes.
Also, Joe has a great workbook on financial, how to build a budget and everything else.
Yes.
And if you need that workbook, you write to me, and I will make sure you get a copy.
Yes.
Okay. That's probably enough for today, don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
We love you guys. Thank you for spending your mornings with us or your afternoons, whatever this is. We sure love you very much. You guys have a great week. We're praying for you.
Yes.
Send in your prayer requests for your family.
Yes.
We love you. Have
God
a great
bless.
Day. Bye-bye.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.